This is Electric Sisterhood podcast episode number 126. Hot toddy. That's the way to warm up your chestnuts. Electric Sisterhood, home of the best,
the fucking best
girl gaming, tech gadget, and anime podcast. I'm Ninja Sista.
And I'm Pandalicious.
Welcome to yet another episode of the ESH podcast, folks.
Hello, everybody.
And how are you doing?
I feel like crap.
Are you warm? Are you snug?
No.
Why not?
I'm cold.
It's snowing.
And I'm unsnug.
It's snowing where you are. You should get warm and snug.
Yes, I plan to with booze later.
That almost sounded like you said you plan to with boobs.
No, with booze. Z-E, not B-S.
That's why, especially for the interwebs, you should refer to it as alcohol and or libations. Can't confuse alcohol with any other word, except maybe asshole, but you have to be really drunk.
Then libations. I'm going to get some serious libation going on.
You gotta get your libation on. Yeah, yep. That's the way to do it. Hot toddy. That's how you warm up your chestnuts.
Nah, I think I'm going to hit some straight up whiskey.
Damn, you must be cold. Okay, so before we get into all the other alcohol that we'll probably be consuming at various different times, possibly during the podcast, gotta do the business piece. So we can get to the fun stuff.
Yes,
indeed. You have to keep these up on the website, www.electricsisterhood.com, or you can use the short address, which is?
ESH.mobi. That's ESH.mobi. The short address bounces you to the long one. You can read any of the articles that we've written within the week. If you have any questions about those articles or just questions for us in general, you can use the hit us up link. If you're not listening to us on iTunes, you can check us out there first. You can plug us into any RSS reader, any podcast search engine, and if you're one of the cool kids, you can find us on the All Games Network.
Yes, the ESH podcast airs Monday nights, 9:30 Eastern on the All Games Radio Network, found at allgames.com, 6:30-ish Pacific time. You can listen to our show as well as some great entertainment like Super Happy Fun Time Show, Dead Pixel Live, Ultimate Quest. There's just so much over there. Evil Avatar, Bobby Black Wolf's show. There's just a great, great amount of really fun shows, including ours. So you should definitely check that out at allgames.com. With that said, I'm going to take the mic of 1,000 truths. I'm going to kind of put it in between Panda and myself, because we have some questions to answer this week. From you guys, who've actually used the Hit Us Up link.
Good job for you guys.
Yeah, so the first one comes from Jarrell, who we get a bunch of questions from, and we love them, keep them coming. The question that Jarrell wants to know is, one, if either of us has played Dead Space yet, and if it is, in fact, creepier than Bioshock. Panda?
Yep. I haven't had the chance to play Dead Space or Bioshock. I kind of want to play Bioshock over Dead Space only because I haven't seen anything about Dead Space. I don't hear a lot of people talking about Dead Space. This doesn't mean that people aren't, just the people that I associate myself with don't happen to be talking about it. But I've had a lot of people talk to me about Bioshock. So that's where my interest lies in terms of those to play. But I have not played any of them yet. Ninja?
Well, I can help you get fixed at least on one of those, because you can play my Bioshock. So that
way
you can have it to compare. I have only played stuff for Dead Space at trade shows and I don't even think that I've played the demo yet. Are you comfortable?
Yes.
Okay. And I have played BioShock, and I have played BioShock on both the Xbox 360 and the PlayStation 3. So as far as what I've played of Dead Space to compare it to BioShock, I still say that BioShock is much more creepy.
Really?
Just because of the story, to me.
Is... Well, I thought in Dead Space they kind of leave you out in space.
Yeah, and that's the whole idea. But I don't necessarily find space that scary. I think because it's just not a tangible thing for me. That I've seen way too many spoofs in space, and even the few things that are very scary space movies, I still don't find it terrifying. So the idea of being abandoned in space and there being stuff that jumps out at you all the time just kind of, in all honesty, ho-hum for me. Whereas the story that's told in BioShock, where it's more of just this guy with a whole lot of money just kind of going a little bit off his nut, riding that line between genius insanity and megalomaniac power, just hauling off and building his own entire world, city, environment, underground, that then just kind of turns into this really bad experiment that goes wrong, is somewhat tangible. I mean, there are all kinds of people that are nuts. Look at Ted Turner. And you just haul off and buy an island. Disney did it. Could you imagine if the Disney island just all of a sudden they decided to put a dome over it? I mean, you got your BioShock, except that would be above water, not underwater, but still. So it's something that it's way out there, but it is more tangible. And so that just makes it a lot more spooky for me to have these really whacked out people, especially the way that audio is done, where sometimes you can hear people creeping up on you and sometimes you can't, and the environment and the way that the story is told. I just find BioShock to be a lot more creepy. And if you just want to go straight out, scare the bejesus out of you, Dead Space definitely, because shit just pops out of all over the place half the time in that game. But if you really want to talk about the creep-out factor, I really actually need to play it in the lights, because otherwise my brain plays tricks on me.
Okay.
That's BioShock. Out of the two.
Okay.
I'd put BioShock in the same category as stuff like Eternal Darkness and, you know, those things that really play with your mind more and your perception of things than just balls out, and here's a big monster that's going to jump out in your face and try to kill you. Kill it! Okay, go. You know?
And go now.
And now. No. Okay, shoot it now. You only have one bullet. Shoot it from the side. Okay. Oh, you're out of bullets.
You're fucked.
Pyramid Head will now kill you. You know, that kind of thing. So,
right.
Jarell, I say BioShock is more creepy than Dead Space.
What about Left 4 Dead? Have you played Left 4 Dead?
I haven't played Left 4 Dead other than some stuff that I've played at some trade shows. Look, here's the thing. I've said it before. I'll say it again. Most of those types of games I suck at. Left 4 Dead, though, does creep the bejesus out of me.
Well, that's good.
In a good way. Like, if I played those types of games more often, I probably would own Left 4 Dead. I definitely find it to be solid. It looks great, but I'm not very good at games like that. But it is definitely worth, if you're an FPS person and you like to shoot stuff in general, Left 4 Dead, good one to have. Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely a good one to have. So that's where I sit on that stuff. So now that I've done that and answered questions, guys, do use the hit us up link. If you've got other questions, shoot us at them or shoot them at us. I probably shouldn't have had that drink before the podcast.
Probably not.
I'm going to give you the mic of 1,000 truths and let you kind of run with it, see if I catch my breath and all that good stuff.
All right. Awesome.
Okay.
Well then, peoples, hello. It's been a long time.
It's been like a week.
Yeah.
It feels like 7 days have gone by.
Yes. Indeed. And no, it just feels a long time since I've ever been able to address our peoples first. Since someone's had a soapbox for a couple of weeks.
Hey, I spent a whole year not having a soapbox. I figure a couple of episodes, I'm going to do.
Okay.
Damn.
So, well, I feel withdrawal.
Well, here's your opportunity.
Why, thank you.
I'm going to go sit in the corner and finish my drink.
Oh, you do that.
Okay.
So, ladies and gentlemen of our lovely fan base, let me tell you what I've been going through within this last, week. Outside of the normal RL stuff, yes, I said RL, I have been watching a lot of different things on the web lately. And they've been a lot of review type shows or sites, kind of what we do, but maybe even an element above what we do here. You've probably heard me talk about people like the Nostalgia Critic.
Right.
And we know what a bucket of awesome he is. But let me tell you a little bit. Now, this is just a little bit of a side of what I'm going to talk about. Because if it wasn't for this guy, I wouldn't be talking about this particular game that I'm going to talk about. And his site is called The Spoonie Experiment. Now, unlike the Nostalgia Critic, who only tends to critique really bad movies, the Spoonie guy also does bad movie reviews. The Spoonie guy. I think his name's like Noah in real life, but I'm just going to call him Spoonie because I like spooning, and spoons do it, and they're very spoony about it, so I like the word spoony. But anyway, he also does really bad gaming reviews. Like, this guy, like, you know, obviously finds the game, plays the game, reviews the game, but in a different element. He does a lot of video stuff, so you actually get to watch him play through these games. There's a lot of funny commentary. I mean, this guy, I have to give this guy credit, because he's played some seriously bad games that have made me want to, like, take a spork and shove it through my ear.
Not a spork. Don't do it.
Into my
spork,
temporal
sis.
Lobe. And I wanted to, like, upset my alpha-thorax, whatever that is. I might have just made it up, but apparently it's fatal.
Okay.
He's just funny. And I check his site every day. He just put up a new one to the game that I'm going to review today. And that game happens to be called Phantasmagoria, A Puzzle of Flesh. Now, I know what you're thinking.
I don't think you do. A Puzzle of Flesh.
Yes, A Puzzle of Flesh.
Okay.
I'm very surprised about this game because, first and foremost, a lot of people who probably have not heard about this series. There's only two. Obviously, the game that I'm talking about is the sequel. The predecessor. Yeah, predecessor.
Yeah, it came before.
Yeah.
That's the sequel. And what came before is predecessor. It's because it's free. This means before.
Four. The predecessor of this game has kind of the same title. You know, it's just regular Phantasmagoria. And it came out in 1995. Innovative for its time, the original Phantasmagoria was kind of innovative in the sense that it used full motion video to create an interactive movie video game.
Okay, I know what you're talking about. I hated those.
Yeah. Some people don't like them. Some people really like them. I've seen some clips of the original Phantasmagoria game. On YouTube, and I mean, you can find it. Compared to what I've seen my favorite guy here, Spoonie, play, I actually kind of like the sequel better, even though the story from the original Phantasmagoria is a lot better. I think because his commentary is just the balls, that I could see myself playing through that game and pretending to hear him speak while I did things. So let me give you a little bit of some backstory about Phantasmagoria 2. You play a very, well, I mean, it's kind of obvious, actually. He is a bi-curious guy. He's about 30 years old, and his name is Curtis Craig.
Wait, yes. You play a bi-curious guy?
Yes. Openly bi-curious.
Is this a PC title, or like a console title, or?
This is a computer. This is a computer game only. Okay. I think it was only for Windows. MS-DOS Windows.
Okay.
And yes, it's got a lot of adult content going on. So obviously, if you're not an adult, and
this
or,
is not for you.
Yeah, and yeah, I think that's another thing that's made this very interesting for me to watch because, you know, I kind of came into the reviews mid, so it's kind of like, what the hell is going on? Who's that guy? Why are they going? Oh. Okay. It was kind of shocking to the gaming community when this game came out, and they openly discussed that the main character was going to be a man who not only struggled with, you know, the mundane routine of life with a splash of it's a splash of mundane life with not mundane life. And murder.
You're in a game called Phantasmagoria. I don't think there's really anything mundane that could possibly happen.
Apparently, like, in the first few hours of gameplay, you pretty much play this guy, and you only really play this guy. He wears a gray shirt and black pants. Like, he doesn't dress up very nice for work. And you go through your house, you have a pet rat, you go to work, you do some file stuff, you go home. So, I mean, they really give you the idea that his life is really boring, and at first you're kind of like, why is this a game? Where's the fun stuff? And then the fucky stuff happens.
The fucky stuff?
I'm calling it the fucky because unlike a normal, you know, sci-fi-y, murdery, suspense horror gamey thing.
Uh-huh.
You know, you're in your work environment. You work for a guy named Paul Warner who has a very horrible British accent. You know, the acting in this was so hammy that you couldn't help but make fun of it, so I can definitely see why Spoonie chose it to you know, rape in the ass. It needed a cock up there, because it needs to...
Okay.
Yeah.
And then you wonder why people think, you know, that you might kind of possibly be somewhat...
What? Sometimes you need to... Never mind, not gonna say that. I stopped myself. But anyway... Anyway, so you work in this company called WinTech, and apparently your dad worked there. And Curtis Craig has had a very hard, emphasis on hard, fucky, emphasis, underline fucky, child life. His mother liked to dress him up in little dresses, and would call him a monster, and would shock him with, like, defibrillator thingies. And, went insane and killed herself. And then, you know, his father kind of got murdered.
Oh, so it's an upbeat, and, cheerful game.
Yeah. And you find out that his father got murdered by the same company that you now work for. But that comes on later on in the game, so you don't find that out straight away. But because of all the trauma that Curtis has been going through in his life, he kind of had to go to the loony bin, which is kind of understandable. Very understandable, considering what happened to him. But once he gets out, he starts working, and he starts to adjust. The only friends he seems to have are all workers in the office. There's this guy, named Trevor, who looks a lot like the Spoonie guy, which is actually really funny, and he likes to refer to him as his gay self, because Trevor is flamboyantly gay. Oh my god, gayness everywhere. Not that gay is bad. But damn, Trevor, you gay. You're so gay. But I love Trevor. He is so upbeat, and he is positive. You know, and there's always this tension between Craig and Trevor, and you're kind of like, Craig, just tell him you love him and do him and get it over with. But he's kind of in the closet about it. And there are two women who work in the office. One happens to be your girlfriend, but she doesn't want people to know that you're dating. Her name's Jocelyn. She's a fucking pussy. I don't like her character. Granted, half the times that I've seen her, when you go to see her in a cubicle, she just makes out with you and tells you how much she wants your thing and her thing. Which is kind of slutty to hear about in the office. But okay. So, and she's all quiet and demure about it because she only talks about it with you in her cubicle. Like, if you talk to her anywhere else outside of that, she never talks about it. It's just in her cubicle. So apparently, Wintech makes her horny. There's a German woman who works in the office, and her name's Therese. And she just wants to fuck Curtis all the time. So, like, she's always trying to grope at his, you know, balls. And she's always talking about how she wants to, like, tie him to things. And she's a big S&M freak. And she's always trying to entice Curtis to go out with her. You know, and at first it's kind of like, oh, no, Therese, no, Therese, no, Therese. But then it starts turning into, maybe Therese. And then he ends up at the S&M bar, gets a belly button piercing, and fucks her in the bathroom. Which you get to watch. It's cheap, and it's dirty, and... And you're kind of going, wow. Then all of a sudden, murders begin to happen. So you get some hot sex, and then murders happen. And they always tend to happen in your cubicle. So everybody in the whole fucking world of this game thinks you did it. This guy, Tom, there's this guy, no, his name's Bob. He's a jackass. Like, he reminds me of the boss from Office Space, sort of.
Oh, yeah, yeah, with the TPS reports.
Yeah. And Spoonie always likes to make references to him, like, he's like, yeah, I kind of need you to, stay late, Curtis. That'd be great.
Yeah, that'd be great.
But he's fat. He kind of looks like, that fat, annoying guy from Seinfeld. Not Jason Alexander, but the other one.
The other one. There are lots of... Newman?
Like, yeah.
Okay.
That guy. He looks like that, but acts like the boss from Office Space.
Ew, okay.
So he's a dick.
Yeah.
And he likes to, like, annoy the hell out of Curtis. You know, like, he's always saying things like, oh, you have no friends, you're a loser, the only friend is this rat that he named Blob, and I don't know why.
Okay.
I would think of 15 better names than Blob, but whatever.
Okay.
And Bob's the first one that we find dead, and it's not even like he just got stabbed or anything. Like Bob kind of got his insides torn out and his mouth stapled with an industrial stapler, and,
What the fuck are you playing?
Well, I'm not playing it. I'm just watching somebody else play it, but I've seen the whole game. So it's kind of like I've been playing it. So, yeah, so Bob kind of gets murdered in Craig's cubicle. And everybody thinks that Craig did it. And for the most part throughout the game, you never actually see Craig do it. Mm-hmm. Like, you really don't. So you don't know. And while all these things are going on, not only is he repressing his sexuality, you know, cheating on his sweet, innocent fuck slut from the office other fuck slut
sweet,
in the office.
Innocent fuck slut does not go together.
Well, because she only does stuff to him in the office. So she's a fuck slut in the office, and then the German fuck slut takes him out. So I think there's a difference between the girls. And he always likes to have, like, chocolate shakes with Trevor at the cafeteria, like a cafe place, which is so gay. But whatever. So he's repressing his sexuality. He's having lots of straight sex, which apparently isn't that fulfilling because he's sneaking off to have milkshakes with Trevor. And, yeah.
Wait. I don't... I'm trying to stay with you and follow along, but... So you're telling me that this game has you having sex with people in an office, but evidently your character is a closet gay guy that really just prefers to sneak off and have chocolate shakes with the flamboyantly gay guy in the office.
Yeah. And apparently he's having psychotic episodes that are leading him to murder.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I'm following along.
Well, see, here's where all this is going to pull together.
Okay.
Because apparently this company, back when Curtis's father was, you know, working here, they were working on this project called the Threshold Project, where they were working with, they were tinkering around with transportation devices with aliens. that somehow opened portals to demonic places. So it kind of went horribly wrong, and instead of aliens, we get demons.
So it may not necessarily be your character, but a demon coming through the portal in the office that is ripping people's insides out and stapling their mouths shut.
Well, that was Bob. So later on throughout the game, as you really start cheating on your girlfriend and she stops giving it to you, so you kind of feel justified, I guess. You start doing crazier things at the S&M bar, which gets kind of... There's a suspension chain at some point and a, you know, ball gag.
How do you actually play this game? Like, is it a choice of, do you go into the S&M bar or do you go home?
Would you like to have
your anus plugged or not? I'm curious now.
It's really funny, actually, because the gameplay is actually really kind of hard. You have your mouse, and, you know, like, say, you know, usually you start off in Curtis Craig's apartment, so you're kind of just standing there, and like I said, it's like a movie, so, like, he's actually standing in, like, an apartment, and you just kind of stand there, and you just hover your mouse over things, and there are only certain hotspots that activate, like, you can go to your bedroom and look in your mirror, or you can go and click on your rat. You know, or you can click the door and he'll walk out the door. I mean, there's a lot of scenes that are the exact same because, you know, there's not much going on. There are puzzles going on in the game. So, like, there are, you know, the whole puzzle of flesh deal. I mean, there are puzzles that you kind of have to solve. But some of them aren't even actually puzzles at all. Like, at one point, you find a screwdriver. And you know that, they let you pick up a screwdriver, so there must be something that you have to unscrew or, like, pry open. And you get sent to the supply closet where you see this little door. And you actually use the screwdriver to prop the door open. And when you pry that open, there's, like, this little crawl space, a sledgehammer, and, like, a file cabinet. And inside the file cabinet is a toolbox, which is kind of redundant.
And stupid. Why would you put a toolbox in a file cabinet?
I know. Like, it's purposely a bad game, okay? Like, it's not meant to be a great game. That's why he's reviewing it, and he makes it fun by it being, you know, by the commentary. But when you first get the toolbox and you finally open it, there's a piece of lace, and then there's a letter from your father, which is kind of funny. And you have flashbacks about when your mother used to dress you up, and you cry, and you cry, and you cry because you're a pussy. And then you try to lift the tray out of the toolbox, and you can't because it's been bolted shut. So you think, I can pry the bolt off with the screwdriver, and you can't. And then, like, maybe 3 discs into the game, because there are 5 discs total, you get a hammer. And then you're supposed to use the screwdriver and the hammer together. And then underneath that tray is another letter from your father telling you that he was murdered by the company and what the Threshold Project's about, and that your mother went insane because this evil entity possessed you when you were little, and when you get really stressed out or you get really scared or you get really pissed off, it sends off these waves that can and do and that hurt things and people. And
so was your mother molesting you physically because she was trying to get the demon out of you, or just literally because she was crazy?
She started going crazy. She was going crazy when he was about 6. And I think she was trying to exorcise the demon thing from him, and she just became more and more insane to the point where she had to hang herself.
You know what I have to say about this game that you're talking about here, Panda?
It's fucked up.
At least it doesn't have any incest in it.
Yeah, well, because you're.
That's really the only positive thing I can really come up with right now.
Yeah.
Because here's the thing, I don't mind sex games. I think that some of them can actually be kind of witty and funny, especially those that poke fun at itself. But right now, what you're describing to me is just a mind fuck that I'm not really interested in.
It's purposely a bad game. Like, we have B movies, there are B games, and this is seriously a B game.
I would put that more towards, like, the Q area of the alphabet.
Well, I mean, it's I find it interesting, and the only reason why I even find this game remotely interesting is because of this guy who does these reviews for it. Like, seriously, maybe even after this show, I'll send you one of the funnier ones, so you can see why I found it to be something to talk about.
No, I think
about.
That a reviewer can make something better than what it really is. I mean, we've done that.
I mean, do I think people listen to Spoonie and then go, oh my god, I want to buy this game and play it? Fuck no! Because he's trying to tell us not to buy this game.
I know, but now, my god, this game really, really, really should not be owned by anyone on the planet.
Yeah.
I mean, I think this game is so fucked up that even Charlie Manson would be like, dude, wait, what? That's fucked up.
There's a lot of tensions going on, and there's a lot of murder going on, and a lot of really dumb puzzles going on. You know, the acting, obviously, like I said earlier, is very hammy, so it's not like any of them are convincing. I think the funniest aspect to this whole game is the detective that gets put on the murder case for the people who are found dead at the job in your cubicle. You know, Curtis Craig's probably like a 6'2", 6'3", so he's kind of tall. And the detective is like a 5'5", or maybe even 5'4", black female. Uh-huh. And I hate to say this, but she's probably got the worst performance of everybody who has any, like, vocals. Because she's very monotone, even when she gets angry, you know, and she had this great scene where she pretty much is ready to nail Curtis for these murders, and she goes rushing out of his apartment, you know, and you think she's going to slam the door and it's going to be all dramatic and nothing. And, like, her witty comment to everything is, my ass! Like, they couldn't give her anything. Like, she couldn't have channeled CSI with, you know, like, you know, what's that guy's name that everyone likes from CSI Miami? I can't remember his name now. The guy who always says, like, the really, it's like, well,
sorry,
looks like she got put on ice.
I don't watch CBS because it's for old people.
Oh, well, anyway. Like, they made her so dry that you need to put mayonnaise on her to give her any type of flavor. Which is upsetting, because being a sister, you would think she'd have no problem cussing out the white man.
Yeah, and that's how you know that no black people were involved in the creation.
No true black people were in the making of this game. Now from the clips and the storyline that I've seen from Phantasmagoria, the first game, like I said, the story is so much more cohesive. It's actually kind of got the Shining vibe to it. You know, you play a woman in the first game, and she's a writer, and she's having writer's block.
Uh-huh.
And she moves to a town, and they're like, oh, well, there's this mansion that no one really goes to, and it's really nice, and it's relaxing, and you might like it there. And she's like, okay, I'll buy it, which is kind of stupid. Mm-hmm. But she moves in there with her photographer husband, and as she's living there, she starts getting these visions and nightmares. And apparently the owners of the house before were descendants of this great magician from, like, the 1900s.
Mm-hmm.
And this man's had about, I'd say, 7 wives, and each of them died in the house. Because there's this evil, ominous presence that possesses him, and he's killed each of these wives with the one thing that they really liked in life. Like, one woman liked to garden, so, like, she gets impaled by garden tools, and one of his wives is really fat, so he, like, forces her to eat entrails and stuff, and, you know. But then one lady liked to drink, so he, like, stabbed her face through, like, bottles and stuff. And it's all gory, so, like, you get to see shit. Which is really cool for the sense, and since it's a movie, it's kind of like watching a horror movie, but you control it. Your husband in the game gets possessed by the same demon, and he starts to try to kill you, or at least he attempts to, and if you're smart, you know,
don't
avoid
die.
Them. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then you find out how you're supposed to exorcise the demon, but sadly you have to kill your husband to get the demon to come out of the body once it's in there. And you kill it, and hopefully if you do everything right, because there are different endings to the first game, as opposed to the second game, where there's really only two choices you could make. There's at least 5 in the first game, and I think in 3 of them you live, and 2 of them you die.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, it's a choose-your-own-adventure with a horror suspense. It was a lot better put together in the first one. I think when the story changed hands, someone's like, let's just add sex. Sex and aliens. Sex, violence, and aliens.
Are we missing anything? Zombies. Yes.
No. No, there's a scene where you go into the parallel universe and you're dealing with the spirits of everyone that you've murdered, and they're kind of like zombies.
Okay.
And if you don't get out of the room fast enough, they eat your brain.
All right, so then check. Zombies. We've got everything.
We've got everything.
Sex.
And it was done in such a horrible way.
And very bad. Yep.
So to wrap this up, guys, I mean, if you're going to go back into retro gaming and in that go back to, you know, an interactive movie video game type of scenario, out of the two that I've mentioned today, go to Phantasmagoria. Just go to number one. Do not go to number two.
Because it's,
I mean,
shit.
Unless you want to see dirty German bathroom sex and, like, gag balls and suspension cords and, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
Chains and whips and cuffs and dirty, nasty talking the Wunderbar, yeah? Then maybe you'd want to play Phantasmagoria too. And if you're bi-curious, you might even like the fact that your main character is dealing with the same problem, issue, concern that you are. Besides that, if you really want to know more about Phantasmagoria 2, check out the Spoonie Experiment, which is thespoonieexperiment.com. Look under the caption, you know, bad games deserve to be hurt just as much. He's got some great titles. And I would watch it. It's humorous. You're not going to want to play the game, but you'll appreciate that he's willing to play these crappy games to avoid us spending our money on games that we think are going to be cool.
Okay.
And, Spoonie, you're awesome. Thumbs up to you. And you do kind of look like Trevor. Oh my god, Curtis! And, yeah. So that's all I really wanted to talk about. And, I'm glad that you were willing to listen. And, you can have the mic. And I put a condom on it because just talking about that German butt slut makes me feel like I should double bag the mic just in case.
Well, let's go ahead and take that off so that I don't have to touch any of that when it comes over here.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm going to take the mic of 1,000 Truths now and kind of do my thing and see if I've missed anything. Like I said, I'm going to try and be quick. Since I know you have shit to do, here's some help that I can give you guys. Those of you cheap motherfuckers who still have yet to get gifts for people. I know you do. I know that there are still people listening to the show as I speak right now that have not purchased stuff for people. So I'm going to help you out. I'm going to be your hero. And here's what I'm going to do.
You're going to give me presents to give people?
No. I didn't say that I was going to actually save you. I said I was going to give you ideas.
You said you were going to be my hero, and heroes save people.
But not money. Come on now, let's be real. We're in a recession here, sis.
I know.
Come along now. So, I'm going to give you some last-minute gift ideas that actually don't suck.
I'm listening.
Yet?
I'm trying to get warm because it's cold in the house because we don't have any oil.
Please,
I'm just kidding. We have oil.
I'd like one more. I've got internet. I've got internet, sir, but I don't have any heat.
Can I have some heat too, please?
No, you may not. Just internet. Enjoy it. So first gift that doesn't suck. Last minute, you can pick them up anywhere. iTunes.
Batteries?
Well, batteries are always good if you're giving electronic gifts for, like, kids. No, iTunes gift cards. First of all, there's nobody on the planet that doesn't like music of some kind, movies of some kind, and or if they have an iPhone, apps for their iPhone, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can pick up iTunes gift cards every place. You can get them at gas stations. You can get them at Target, Best Buy, Walmart. I mean, it's ludicrous the amount of places you can get iTunes gift cards.
I know you can get them at CVS or Walgreens.
Okay, you can get them in all kinds of denominations, from $10 to $100. You buy them in 4-packs, and they all have neat little designs on them. So, out and about, oh shit, I was supposed to get so-and-so a gift. iTunes gift card.
But what if they don't use iTunes?
Then they'll start, because they would have initiative to go into iTunes.
Okay.
They have $15 to spend. That's a movie, son. That's at least an album and 3 tracks, if not more. Come on.
What's next?
Also on the gift card side, for the geek and everybody.
I'm a geek.
Best Buy gift cards. Because there's all kinds of shit at Best Buy. There's not a geek on the planet that hasn't bought something from a Best Buy at some point in time. Not everybody knows about Fry's, but everybody knows about Best Buy. And they're all over the place. They're almost as popular as frickin' Starbucks. Or Dunkin' Donuts, depending upon the coast that you live. So, they work out great. DVD movies. We're back to music. Software for computers. But here's the thing about gift cards, folks. Don't be cheap, motherfucker. Don't do just the $10 gift card. Really, what am I gonna get? Electronic. That I actually want. That's useful.
Batteries?
Besides you and the batteries. Are you needing batteries? Is your vibrator out? Is that where we're going?
No. My 360 controllers are dying.
Well, then you should get a rechargeable battery pack. And you know what? If I gave you a gift card for Best Buy for Christmas, you could get one.
I could do that.
See? See? You can use them all over the place. Game stuff, computer stuff. If I just need to get an SD card for my camera. The Best Buy gift card works. But like I said, don't be a cheap bastard. More than $10 if you're going to do a department store gift card. Pay the little bit extra if they charge you for it and get the envelope. Get a little bag, put a ribbon on it, show that you put in at least some freaking effort. Because a lot of times people like to complain that gift cards don't necessarily show that you've put in any thought. I disagree. I think gift cards show that you put in a lot of thought. You thought so much about the gift you were going to give me. You didn't want to fuck up and give me something I wouldn't actually like. And you know, you don't really know what I like. So you're just going to give me the money and let me get whatever the hell it is that I want on my own time. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
I appreciate you. And I appreciate your gift. Gift cards are not the easiest way out. But they sure are easier. Both for you and the giftee. And there are all kinds of places you can still get gift cards. If you've got somebody that just got a computer, give them a gift card for Timbuktu at timbuktu.com. They can make a great messenger bag, and they can customize it the way that they want. So whatever color scheme they want it to be ballistic nylon or not, if they want it to be repellent, if they want to get a little...
Did you say ballistic as in bulletproof?
Well, not bulletproof, but it's the higher grade nylon. You can get that from Timbuktu. When you go on, you can choose what kind of nylon weave that you want. Did you not know this?
No.
Oh, you can. So, Timbuktu is the ultimate customizable bag, and they have a great little gift pack bag in a box, little gift card packaging thing, which is really neat.
So it's a bag in a box.
Ooh.
Sorry, I had to go there.
I know you did.
Wait, have you seen the music video for I Jizzed in My Pants?
Yes. Here's the thing. I didn't see the video on YouTube. I actually was watching Saturday Night Live that night when it was on, and I was like, did he just say what I thought? And my friend was watching with me, and I looked over, and I was like, yeah. Yeah, he said it again. Okay. I guess you can get away with a whole lot more at NBC these days.
Apparently you can say jizz now.
Over and over again. In your pants.
What's next, splooge?
Splooged on the luge. Anyway. We're not making that song. Other things.
I never said we should.
Other things that also work really well. Again, for geek, gamer alike, person that likes tech in general. The flip camera, which I just recently found out about these things, and I'm teetering on wanting one or not. It's just about whether I'm not going to actually get the time to use it. But what I like about the Flick is, one, they're relatively inexpensive, but they're small. So it's about the size of, a little bit taller than a razor. But it's a camcorder that's as thick as a pocket camera.
Oh, so stalkers will be able to look up girls' skirts with more effectiveness.
There you go. Hooked on Phonics worked for you.
No, it didn't. That's why I suck at speaking.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, rumble, rumble, rumble.
We tried. But what I liked about the Flick is, one, how small it is, how light it is, and the fact that you can actually get one that does HD. Both of the Flick Mino HD and just the regular Mino, they range in price from about, I think the lowest is like $149, which will record an hour and it only has a gig of memory, so it's really compressed video, up to the HD one, which actually sports a 4 gig hard drive in the camera and will record an audio of high definition video. So the fact that it's so ultra portable, I think is really great, because who wants to have a massive video camera that they have to lug around on their shoulder in order to do HD? Like, I'm thinking for the events that we go to, it'd be great to be able to walk around the show floors with a video camera that can record an hour at a time the size of an iPhone or the size of a Razor or a BlackBerry. The fact that it holds about an hour, 60 minutes of video is really useful, I think, because I'm selective about what I record or when I'm taking pictures, what I shoot. So it's very rare that I just like run stuff for an hour long, unless I'm doing like a live stream of something, which we haven't done in a very long time. So it's really easy for me to just selectively record things. So I think that that would be a great gift. And like I said, they range in price from $179.99 up to $229. And that's the $229 is for the HD. But they fit in your pocket, looks great in a stocking stuffer, looks like you've put in thought, and you can pick them up every place. You can get them at Best Buy, Circuit Cities, Target also carries them, as well as Walmart. And they're customizable. So for the most part, from the $179 and above, you can get custom faceplates to put on them or even design your own. So you can really have a Flick that kind of more represents you. And I'm not just saying this because there's a Hello Kitty one now.
Oh.
Okay, I'm not.
You're not, huh?
I'm not just saying that because.
Sure you're not.
I happened to be looking at some websites and saw that they now have Hello Kitty branded Flicks. I mean, that's not the only
reason why you're talking about it right now.
Not at all. It has nothing to do with the reason why it made the list.
Right.
It really, it doesn't. Maybe.
Right.
Also, another great gift that can be fun, any kind of customization thing that people can do for the gadgets that they have. You know, a lot of times people will buy stuff, especially this time of year, people will get new phones, they'll get new laptops, if they've got really, really great family members. You know, and
or friends or lovers.
Absolutely.
Or fans.
Yeah. Don't hold your hopes up there, Panda.
I'm not. I love my fans regardless of the fact that I don't get things from them. I still love you.
We love you.
We
Thank
love
you very much.
You.
But any kind
well,
of
Well, I was giving you the chance to chime in, sis. I'm not going to speak for you.
Wow, you've done it before.
Oh,
but you have
that
the ability,
stings.
The truth usually does. Usually does.
Ow.
Yeah.
A little but, vicious today.
Me?
Meow. Yeah, you.
Me?
Meow.
I don't think so. Customization, like I said, big thing. Really popular for any of those devices you can get. So whether it's cases, either for individual devices or gift cards in the amount of what cases would cost and pointing people in the right direction. Don't buy bling kits, though, because that's not really customization. That's just dumb. People, stop putting crystals on your shit.
But why? It's crystal.
No.
Like crystal light.
No. Yeah, like crystal light. That's exactly what we're talking
about. It's cheap.
Okay.
It looks cheap. Unless they're actual diamonds. And then even then you're still kind of pressing it.
If you actually take the time to buy actual real diamonds to diamond encrust anything, you deserve the Robbie that is about to befall you.
Yes.
Okay?
And don't put the diamonds in your mouth because you could choke on them.
Yeah, really. Don't make grills. Okay? We're past that. Those are things to avoid. Otherwise, just use your judgment. But worst case scenario, do not give people sweaters.
Sweaters suck.
Unless you're somebody's mama, you should not be gifting anybody a sweater.
Well, I like low-cut V-neck sweaters.
Yes, but your mama should give you that.
Mom doesn't give me V-necks. She doesn't want people to see my boobies.
Yeah.
She'd get me a turtleneck.
No, not our mom. I've seen some of the stuff she's bought you. Thank you very much.
I know. Actually, she's good sometimes.
So that's the buying advice that I have for you last-minute gift gayers, is make sure that you're getting something.
Did you say gayers?
I meant to say givers. Did I say gayers?
Gift gayers.
I thought I said gift givers, but the internet might have slowed down. All I'm saying is, for the last-minute gift givers, seriously, only buy gifts and give gifts that you yourself at this point would want to receive. If you're looking at it and in your brain you're like, oh man, that would totally suck if somebody gave it to me, don't buy it. And even if it's a person you don't like, just don't do it. You'll thank me later.
Just say no to bad gifting.
And that way you and those that are getting the gifts can enjoy the season.
Amen. Not that I'm religious.
Or whatever your particular thing tells you to say when you're happy. Like, thank you. Thank you is a good one.
Thank you very much.
Last piece that I have doesn't have anything to do with video games at all. I was watching some anime this week because I finally actually got some time. I know.
Yay.
Amazing, right? I finally actually got some time to sit down and watch one. And so I had watched the first run of Code Geass, a.k.a. Lelouch of the Rebellion.
Code Geass.
I fucking love Lelouch. So I was able to actually get my hands on the second season, which is Code Geass R2. And it took me a little bit to catch up on where we were at because I missed a couple of episodes in between. But I have to tell you, I watched this whole thing. First of all, I highly recommend it. I give Code Geass a 5 out of 5. I'll tell you that right now.
That's what my religion tells me to scream when I'm happy. Fuck yes. 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 Yes.
Wait. Come on now. Bring it back. Stay focused. The reason why is the story is really great. You know how I'm a stickler for having a good plot, for telling a good story. I think that if you have a good story, the medium only adds to the story. It doesn't detract from it. And Geass is one of those animes that it being animated only adds to the story. Basically, the main character in Code Geass, Lelouch, is a expatriate. He and his sister were royalty. Were abandoned by his dad, who's kind of an asshole.
No, really?
Slightly kind of have a god complex.
Oh, he thinks he's god?
Somewhat of a douche.
Yep, that sounds about right.
Yeah. King Charles of Britannia. There are a few of the children in the royal family, and they're all badass. They're all great at fighting, but they all have their issues. And so Lelouch decides that to protect his sister Nunnally, who the story kind of leads you to believe lost her sight because she bore witness to her mom being brutally killed right before they were abandoned, decides that he's going to exact his revenge upon the entire empire of their family, which just happens to be the British Empire. So in this anime, the British Empire has actually taken over much of the world, including Japan, and has turned it into what's called Area 11. But the Japanese people, or 11s, want desperately to rebel and take back Japan.
Let's take back Japan!
So Lelouch decides that he's going to use that to his advantage. And Lelouch is a very tactical person. And so the whole story then involves him trying to exact this revenge and create a place that is safe for Nonnally. Because right now there's only one person that knows their true identities and that they are part of the royal family. And they like to keep it on the low for fear that they may actually be killed by his dad, who has no problem, by the way, killing his children.
No, I bet when you have enough, it's like,
There's like how many? 7 of them, give or take.
Yeah, see, he can get away with killing 3 of them and people wouldn't notice.
Yeah. So, you know, a lot of the stuff that we've talked about before in different anime series with moe characters and, you know, setting up characters by hair type and body type and that kind of thing.
And eyeshadow.
Yep, all fall into place. And there's a lot of, you think this person is a good person, but turns out that they're a bastard. And, boy, you want them to die and that kind of thing.
God, it sounds like real life.
But what I loved about this series was it's one of those series that as you get towards the end of the last, I'd say last 5 episodes, there are a lot of tear-jerky moments where you buy into these characters and what they're trying to pull off, and you feel horrible. I mean, in trying to exact his revenge, Lelouch ends up losing almost all the things that are close to him, if not that become close to him. And I just like that kind of story because that's an archetype that I definitely enjoy in any kind of storytelling is the person that sets out for just a piece of revenge and finds out that what that winds up costing might not necessarily be worth all of the effort. So I highly, highly, highly recommend Code Geass. Definitely start from the beginning. Don't just jump into R2 because if you do, you'll be like, what the fuck? I don't know what's going on.
Who's that person? Plus, why is that there?
Not only do we have good story here, but we got magic, and we have mechas.
Magical mechas.
What more do you need, people? There's mecha, there's magic in what Geass actually is, which is kind of like
male and male sensual tension?
There's a little of that, definitely. All right. There's not any male on male action.
No, that would make it a shonen eye.
But there definitely comes a point in the second series where there might be some kissy kissy, but definitely some people that are in love with Lelouch.
Other dudes. I'm that dude that's in love with another dude.
I'm playing the dude that's in love with the dude that's in love with another dude.
That dude.
Yeah, there's definitely some of that. And there's also a lot of characters that do, over the course of the entire series, fall in and out of love with Lelouch. And he's one of those characters that's really intriguing because he's really playing 2 characters at the same time. Both on the surface, the happy-go-lucky high school student, and then below, this very scheming, plotting character that has to kind of shed some of the innocent stuff in order to realize the ultimate goal that he wants. And I love the struggle. And the animation is great. Anytime that you let people pilot mechas and they have battles, I'm a happy person. Because I heart mecha. So it just wins all the way around. Where things like, you know, Godinar, you've got mecha, but it's so over the top and so campy that you're just like, oh my god, really? Really?
Indeed.
And you tune it out. Code Geass is completely the opposite. And there are a lot of characters to fall in love with. You definitely have your brainiac scientist teetering on the line of being mad scientists. Will they not redeem themselves? You've got your, you know, president of the student council, ridiculously smart and talented, just happens to be nobility characters. You've got your ever lovable, very naive princess that is betrayed character. There's a little bit of all of those typical characters that you're used to seeing as the focus characters on some anime that actually are ensemble in this one. And it just lends itself to have this depth that I haven't really seen in a lot of series of late.
Right.
So I'm a big, big fan of Code Geass. Definitely check it out. It is worthwhile. So if you have an anime fan in or on your list that you have yet to get a gift,
like me,
get the to your local Best Buy and or anime procuring station and start them off with Geass. You can't go wrong.
Geass, Geass.
I made you out of clay. Oh, wait, no, I didn't.
I made you out of metal and shrapnel.
And I equipped you with plasma wings. So you
and laser cannons. And war kittens.
War kittens?
Yes.
I don't remember war kittens in Geass.
Shh.
Oh, it was secret. My bad. So with that, I'm going to have to say that this is probably the end of the last show before the holiday.
I don't think
we're going to do the special thing that we were thinking about doing that was actually going to go off on Christmas. So yeah, this will be it until after the holiday.
Yay.
I hope that you and yours have a wonderful one. I hope that you get everything that you wanted and none of the stuff that you didn't. And be on the lookout because we're going to do some community gaming things coming up in the new year. Oh, it's going to be all people.
I'm very excited.
So, with that, got to remind you, keep hitting us up on our website, www.electricsisterhood.com, or you can use the short address, which is
esh.mobi. That's esh.mobi. The short address will bounce into the long one, and you can check out any articles that we've written within the week. If you have any questions about those articles or just questions for us, you can use the hit us up link. If you're not listening to us on iTunes, you can check us out there first. You can plug us into any RSS reader, any podcast search engine, and if you're one of the cool kids, you're probably listening to us on the All Games Network.
The ESH podcast airs Monday nights, 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time, 6:30 p.m. Pacific Time. You can catch our show there at allgames.com, as well as some other great entertainment airing on the All Games Radio Network, like Dead Pigs Alive, Ultimate Quest, Super Happy Fun Time Show, Bobby Black Wolf Show. There is just so much over there. Chatterbox with Alon. I mean, it is just a great place to just kind of sit and geek out. So definitely check out us, as well as some of the other entertainment over there. With that, I guess I'm going to have to call this podcast toast.
It's too cold to be here, so I don't think it's toast. I just think it's cold bread.
Well, mine is going to be toast because I'm going to use it and I'm going to make a fluffernutter.
Okay.
Which, if you don't know what a fluffernutter is, get on the internet and look it up. It's nothing sexual. It's just really good.
Yeah.
It's like fucking delicious.
See, it has nothing to do with sex, but it's fucking delicious.
Yeah. Do you disagree, sister?
No, I do not disagree, sister.
What do you... So you're not doing anything with your cold bread?
No.
Except just looking at it, wishing that it was warm enough to be toasted?
No, I don't know. I'm very emo about my bread right now.
Oh, you're sad looking at your little cold bread? Oh.
Yeah.
You must be emo.
I am.
Well, I'm Ninja Sista.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And we're out.
Later.
Happy holidays, guys.
Humbug.